Aloha, everyone.
Aloha. This is Toast.
And this is Sienna.
And you're listening to the Girl Meets Girl podcast.
You are. And this is episode number 88. And the title of this episode is called How to Clear Your Space.
And this is for the week of March 8th, 2009.
And this is for the week of March 8th. So we're going to talk a little bit about space clearing and spring cleaning. But while we're sounding all calm... We're trying to sound very calm, but we're kind of mad because we recorded like half the podcast and then our computer force quit on us.
So we're just taking a moment.
So to, you know...
We're just taking a moment.
Take a moment.
You know, though, we... There are... I mean, if that's the worst thing that happens today... We have a good, good life.
Yeah,
good
day. That's true.
All right. So, getting over it. I just wanted to throw this little interesting tidbit out there. I saw this headline on ABC News this past week. And
okay, wait, hang on.
What?
Okay, if you're hearing all kinds of extraneous noises that you don't normally hear...
Like trucks going by?
Like trucks and all kinds of things happening. It's because we're recording this during the day.
And it usually is at night.
It usually is.
So, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, I saw this headline and I thought, I have to share this with all the podcast family because I think you'll appreciate this. So, this was a headline that appeared on February 28th of this year. And... the headline was Porn in the USA. Conservatives are biggest consumers. And I'm not going to go into all the statistics, but I will have a link up on our show notes so you can read the whole story if you want to. But basically, the whole gist of the story can be encapsulated in the following statistic. The top 10 porn-consuming states in the United States, based on... credit card purchases and subscriptions and stuff and traced, you know, to the billing address and stuff. But the top 10 of them, 8 of those voted Republican in the 2008 presidential election.
Which is not really much of a surprise.
No, but it's so interesting though.
It is.
I just wanted to repeat it to all of you.
Yeah. Tell everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the reason to me it's not surprising. Yeah, it's about suppression and repression and acknowledging just the
basic humanness of us all.
Yeah. Poor thing. You know, like, hey man, reality, deal with it. Yeah. Just live with it. It's okay to be human and have sexual feelings and don't need to be repressed and make judgments about it.
Because porn isn't, I mean, depends on how you see it. How you
and
use
what
it.
Kind and all that
And what kind
stuff.
And all
and
that
the methods
stuff.
Used.
But,
and,
you know, not saying we're pro-porn or anti-porn, but... responsible occasional use of porn.
We have no judgments about that.
We have no judgments.
Well, our judgment would be that it's neutral. It's like, hey man, if it works for you, if it edifies your life, all right.
Then whatever.
You know,
yeah.
But okay, wow.
But
we're
not
getting,
addiction.
We're getting, okay, we better stop talking about it. Because,
okay. So we're not saying to go watch porn for any of our younger listeners.
We're not advocating it.
We aren't.
But we're not saying that it's evil and morally.
Yeah. Or you're gonna be struck down by God.
We're not saying that either.
No, not at all.
So
whatever's right.
So I think you know what I think we're saying.
What are we saying? Because I don't even know.
I think what we're saying is that we are anti-suppressing and condemning the experience of being human.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like I think if you don't suppress and repress and condemn and blame and judge and beat up on yourself, then I think you won't be one of those top 10 people who need to vote Republican and then go watch porn.
It would probably be very easy to find out what the dollar amount was attached to this. Because if they trace them through the credit card and stuff like that, like, I'm so curious to know how much money they actually spent.
Oh, I'm sure it's a huge industry,
right? Yeah. I mean, no, but these
These
Republican
individuals?
Folks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is turning into the porn episode. So.
I mean, but we're fine with Republicans. Okay, I just don't, you know, I mean, because whatever.
It's just interesting. Yeah. It's just interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
And well, this is one of my lifelong, well, from now on, my life. Because I wasn't interested in this when I was six, but now I am. Just about the philosophy of economics and social structure and distribution of wealth and all that stuff. So, okay, we're going way off course. We have to go back to space clearing. We have to get to there.
Well, let's move on to some announcements.
Thank you.
Alrighty. So we just want to thank everyone who has voted for the Girl Meets Girl podcast on Podcast Alley. Thank you so much. And we want to send a special thank you again to our loyal, our other loyal listener, Mel. Wait. Okay. Let's do that again. Okay, take two.
It's announcement time.
So we just want to thank everyone for voting for Girl Meets Girl podcast at Podcast Alley.
And if you, yes, you, listener, if you would like to vote, the link to vote is on the website at girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com. We try to put a link in every show's show notes.
And what I was trying to say earlier was just a very special thank you to our loyal listener, Mel, who just kind of gets everyone inspired to vote. And I appreciate that because, you know, I forgot to vote.
Because we
I was
sure
like,
don't.
Oh, yeah, I better vote. I know. Yeah, that's true. Well, I beg.
That's
from
true.
Time to
that's
time,
true.
I beg. Yeah. And I'm going to maybe beg a little bit because, you know, we found out that, you know, our listenership when we were doing more promotion was over 7,000. So we just want to let you all know that because sometimes it seems like we're just this very small girl meets girl community, you know, but which is nice. And we're so grateful for those who show up on the comment board and all of that. But there's a lot of quiet listeners out there. And, you know, can you imagine if they all voted?
We kick, trying to say something?
We kick vegan free off the charts. Okay. We kick vegan free.
Yeah.
Not that we're anti-vegan free.
Of course, not at all. But thank you for voting.
All right.
All right. Up next, we have a very cool contest.
Oh, yeah. So we have an exciting contest, and the prize was actually a suggestion by our other loyal listener, Alo.
So thank you, Alo.
See, I was getting all confused before.
Yeah, this is the second time.
This is the second time we're doing the podcast.
We're chewing the cabbage.
And when I was saying loyal listener Mel, another one, that was following loyal listener Alo, but anyways.
Okay, hang on. Don't get too confused.
Guess that.
Yeah, they don't care. All right. So the prize is an autographed copy of the CD Ikenna by Tia Carrere and Daniel Ho.
Mm-hmm.
And you would know about Ikenna if you had listened to the previous episode because this is the album that won the Best Hawaiian Music Album Grammy just a few weeks ago.
So it's exciting. And, you know, I'm going to see if we can get some other stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to see because I'm thinking, you know.
Yeah, not just one CD.
Let's see if we can get several.
I think we can make it
happen.
And have
more than one winner.
Yeah.
And then, but I was actually thinking it might be really, really exciting for our listeners to get an autographed picture of Tia. Because I think all of our different types of listeners would appreciate that.
They could find appreciation for that.
The lesbians. Okay, that's obvious, right? Right? Okay.
The straight guys, that's obvious.
Straight guys, yeah, obvious. Gay guys.
That's right.
Right?
That's not as obvious.
Well.
But then once you mention it, it's like, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, putting the 2 and 2 together.
Okay. And straight girls, what? Yeah, they'll go like, wow, Tia's hair is so nice. Maybe I'll grow mine out or whatever, right? I don't know. Or look at that necklace. Ooh, I want to get one. Yeah. Let me Google, see where she got it, right? Okay, so maybe we can get that. I think we can make that happen.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Okay.
Okay, so how do you enter this contest? Now, it's going to sound like a bribe, and it kind of is, but
it is
only halfway, because we're just going to pick the winners at random. So it's not like we're reading through everything and judging it. We're just going to put it into a spreadsheet and just pick some out at random.
I mean, you could...
However many prizes we have.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you do to enter and put your name in this pot is to write us a review.
Now, by review, we mean... I mean, you could write one sentence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't... No stress.
You have to make, like, you know, an essay.
Not at all.
No.
I wouldn't. Just, you know, just write us a review of this podcast or of the McKenna CD that we have out on iTunes. McKenna is spelled M-A-K-E-N-A. And you can find those things at iTunes. Or if you've already done that, when some of you have, then we thank you very much. But if you've already done that, you could also post up something about the podcast or McKenna, the little, you know, our music endeavor, up on like your MySpace page or on your Facebook page or on, you know, how they have the forums and discussion boards and stuff.
Yeah. And just put a link. Website. Like, that would be really helpful.
Oh, yeah. Link,
like girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, if you do that, then take a screenshot.
Okay, but not everyone knows how to do a screenshot.
Right, I will explain that really, really quickly right after this.
Okay.
Take a screenshot and then send us an email to tell us, hey, I entered it. Put my name in the pot. Our email is mail@girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com. So, M-A-I-L. Not the other kind of mail.
No, we wouldn't have chosen that.
mail@girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com. Now, if you're on a Mac computer, I can help you in taking a screenshot. And what you do is use your keyboard and you're going to press down three different keys all at once. The first key is Apple, also known as Command. So depends what kind of keyboard you have. So Apple, Shift, 3. Those three keys. Apple, Shift, 3. And what will happen when you press all three of those at the same time, the computer will take a picture of whatever's on your screen and it will put that picture on your desktop. So if that's too crazy for you to do, then just send us an email.
Just tell us.
With the link, you know.
I posted it on whatever, this website or this blog or whatever, my Facebook page. Check it out, whatever.
We're not being the contest police.
No, no.
But, you know, it would be nice. it would be nice to see, you know, what you guys
see
are doing
out
there.
See all the nice things you have to say that'd be about kinda cool. Which is also another clue. Like, can you just be nice? Of course they can, right?
Yeah, that's why.
They wouldn't be listening if they didn't like us.
That's what keeps us doing this podcast, because we want to encourage the kind, nice, open-hearted, open-minded people of the world. And you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't do my research for taking a screenshot if you're on a PC or on a Windows computer. So if any of you know how to do that on a Windows computer, feel free to post that in the comments for this episode. Maybe that might be cool for me to learn.
You know who would know is probably Robert No Longer on the Thong.
Yeah, and I probably Johnny too.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny. Right? Because he was throwing that degrees. Wasn't that him?
Like, well, Johnny's not a Mac.
Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it was David.
No, Etolix, right?
Etolix. Etolix
is pretty computer savvy. Yeah. Mel, too.
You know what?
You know,
if you're listening and subscribing to a podcast, then you're pretty computer savvy, probably. But anyway, okay. So there you go. That's the contest. We're going to draw the winners, again, from random, on the last show of March.
All right.
So you have a bunch of time to enter.
Okay. Here's a special music treat for all of you. Song is written and performed by Herb Otto Jr. and Daniel Hull.
And the song is called Step It Up.
Which is what we're trying to do.
We're trying to step it up. Yeah. And after this, we have a really special offer for you Herb Otto Jr. fans later on in this episode. He's going to be doing a tour through Southern California.
Okay, but we're cutting off the song.
Okay, so I'll be quiet and then we'll meet you on the other side. Okay, bye. Thank you. That was Step It Up from the CD Step 2, Ukuleles in Paradise 2.
That used to be our favorite Herb Otto Jr. song. But he actually has a new CD out too. And the track that we really love is Pahala We Go.
Yeah, we got to get that on the show.
Yeah, we do.
One of the upcoming episodes.
We do. But if you enjoyed...
This last track.
Okay.
So you can, go ahead.
What? You can buy it on iTunes. Or you can go ahead and buy the whole CD. And the CD is titled Step 2, Ukuleles in Paradise 2. Available at dhcdesigns.com. And of course, also the entire CD is also available on iTunes.
Yes. Oh, and an additional teaser, I guess. Herb Otto Jr. lives in Hawaii, but he's going to be doing a tour through Southern California later this month. And we're going to have the information on that very soon. But this being the music portion of the podcast, we wanted to let you know about the date that we're going to do. We have some gigs coming up. On March 21st, which is Saturday, we're going to be at Lu'au, sponsored by the Nisei Week Festivals, which are festivals here in Los Angeles. Tickets are $35 for adults, $15 for children under 12, and corporate tables are available for $400 each. We'll put a link up for that. And the very next day, March 22nd, Sunday, we are going to be actually appearing with Herb Otto Jr. and Daniel Ho in Orange County. And tickets for that are $25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that means it should be a weekend of great food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you know what? Like, we're fine. Like, we just pick around everything and it's still yummy. Isn't it yummy? Like, just rice.
Yeah. Oh, rice.
Max.
Rice is so yummy. Yeah, the white steamed rice. Ooh. Mm. No, it is. It is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
It's always so yummy.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's animal time.
I think it's the animal time. Yeah. Okay, so this is Kumin's Cat Corner. Kumin is our cat. However, she is so graciously willing to share this corner with her fellow sibling.
Aminal. I mean animal.
I was like, what? our goldfish, Chocolate. And in the last podcast, we reported that something was kind of wrong with him, and we did some research. He was belly up, and we bought some things and, you know, adjusted his tank and put medicine and all that, but he wasn't doing very well.
Yeah, belly up, man. Usually that's like time crazy. For the toilet if you're a fish, right?
Yeah. Oh. I was like, you know, one night it was like, what was it? Was it like 1:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
I saw him and I'm like, oh my God. And I was trying to stay up because I didn't want him to die alone.
Yeah.
Poor thing, you know? So.
I know. I thought he was a goner. I thought it was curtains for him, like, several different times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh. And then I come back and he's swimming around like, whoa.
I know. I don't know what's going on for him. So anyways, we sent out a plea asking anyone know about fish. And we're so grateful that one of our listeners named Jeff emailed us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you so much because...
I think he saved Chocolate's life.
I think he did save Chocolate's life. We have been changing Chocolate's tank 25% of the water, as per Jeff's advice, every day. And also putting in the conditioners, the water conditioners and all of that stuff. And Chocolate has been looking pretty great.
Yeah, I think he seems to be back to normal.
He does. Yeah. And so thank you so much, Jeff. And we did have some other questions for Jeff. So we sent him an email and we'll see, you know, if some of the answers might be helpful to all of you to share. But some other tips that Jeff mentioned that was very helpful, actually, because what you all don't know is that Chocolate was actually a homeless fish.
Yeah, we found him on the street.
Begging on a corner.
No, so, we knew somebody and
they didn't want him.
They were moving on and they were like, oh, I'm just gonna dump this fish, you guys want it? And that was like what?
Seven years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So anyways, so we're not really like fish parents. You know, we don't know much about being fish parents at all, really. You know, Jeff shared some information, like they're sensitive to light. And I didn't know that. I would, you know, put his fish tank light on from behind and like a spotlight, like he's on stage.
You're a star.
Yeah, you know, to help his self-esteem. But I know they're sensitive to light. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just thinking, well, aquariums have lights and maybe then they're fine. But maybe goldfish are sensitive to light. I don't know. But so we're not going to do that anymore. And also, chocolate doesn't have a castle or a grotto where he can go inside. Yeah. So I didn't know that they really need a place to hide. So that they don't have to feel as stressed when the giant light gets turned on, you know. So we're going to get them a castle.
Well, when you say giant light, you mean the light in the room that they're in, right?
The light in the room, and also when I'm doing spotlight, you know.
When you're playing spotlight, fish star.
Yeah, like American Idol, I don't know, whatever. So
you put on the light. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
So thank you so much, Jeff. Boy. You're saving Chocolate's life, and he's actually doing better. And we changed his food and everything, and he's swimming around and all that. Now, a little update on Kumin is, again, she is no longer raw. I think, did we mention that already?
I don't think so.
Well, she is no longer raw. And this is just a point that even though we will be talking about raw things in the future, we love...
Like the raw food diet, right?
Yeah, raw food diet. Yeah. You know, we love non-vegetarian folk and non-raw eaters too. We love cumin. And so her favorite non-raw food of late is a canned food by Wellness. And it's the flavor is chicken and herring. It's really good. It's a grain-free product. So if your cat's in for a treat... You might want to go pick up a can. They have 3-ounce cans and 5.5-ounce cans available and 12.5-ounce cans available.
Look at you.
And that's just for my brain.
Yeah,
it's not in any notes.
Like, wow, it's not even on the notes. All righty.
Isn't that interesting that all of our animals are start with C's?
Oh, yeah.
I just thought of that.
All Shami. Two of them? Oh, Shami.
You forgot Shami?
I guess I was thinking of him as an S.
Oh.
Because sometimes I spell it
like
with
Shamwow.
S. Shamwow. What is that now?
I think it's a Shami.
Oh, okay.
With that.
Like a brand name Shami.
Yeah, that guy who is. Anyways, you guys know the Shamwow. Anyway. I think they know the Shamwow. Okay.
Yeah. Right, okay, so here we are. We're going to talk about the springtime topic of spring cleaning. And we know that for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, it's not spring. But sorry. Okay, you can use this next year.
We covered that already.
You can use this next year. Okay. All right. Moving on. All right, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm waiting to hear all the wisdom about holistic spring cleaning.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about not just the traditional spring cleaning that most people know about, which is, you know, cleaning the blinds and cleaning the ceiling fans and the nooks and crannies, all that stuff that, you know, tends to go unnoticed until it's like springtime or New Year's or something like that. However, we do want to say that a part of holistic spring cleaning and space clearing does involve that. So we do want to mention that that is a really important aspect of a holistic space clearing of sorts. It's the actual physical cleaning that we're all so familiar with.
Yeah, because you can't separate the material world from the spiritual.
Right.
Everything's, it's all connected.
Yes, so, definitely.
So yeah, physical environment.
Yeah.
So it does include the usual then, vacuuming, obviously you do that more than once a year, but you know, doing a good scrub down of the places maybe where you don't get to during the rest of the
dusting,
year.
Dusting, just the physical type of cleaning.
But also clutter clearing,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So just stuff that accumulates, like old magazines maybe.
Yes.
You know, the odds and ends in your kitchen drawer.
That's a real big one because what a lot of people maybe don't recognize clutter to be is that clutter really is just stagnant, stuck energy.
Yeah.
Kind of like muck.
Yeah, think of a stagnant pool of water. It just gets develops, you know, slimy, stinky. Mm-hmm.
So if you have those like clutter areas, now's the time to clear it out.
It's supportive energy for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we're not going to get into like feng shui right now, but there is a correlation with certain areas in your home where you notice like there's always clutter by the door or there's always clutter in this corner. And you might want to take a look at what corner of your home that is. It might be like a relationship corner. Mm. And you might be going, gosh, how come I'm not attracting the right mate? Or how come I'm not in a relationship or what? You might look over and see a whole bunch of clutter in that area. So there's so much to talk about, but we're not going to totally get into that.
Well, I guess so. The best thing to do is to not have any clutter anywhere. Then it's like the areas will be good.
Actually, yeah, that's pretty true. And you know, if we could keep up with that, that would be fabulous. But, you know, sometimes when you look at your home and there's varying degrees of clutter everywhere, it's overwhelming to even just think of, oh my God, I have to tackle that. How am I going to do it?
Yeah.
So there's kind of a formula that you can use to just kind of manage it, help you just make the decisions, quick decisions about the things in the clutter pile.
Instead of feeling overwhelmed,
Instead of feeling overwhelmed.
Put it through this machine, this formula, and when you reach the other end, boom.
Yeah, you're fine.
You have less clutter.
Yeah.
So
there's basically these categories, okay? So you're going to separate it into what you're going to keep, what you're going to toss. Toss meaning throw it away because it's just
trash.
Irreparable. Yeah, you just can't.
It's no good to anybody.
No good to anyone. So okay. Throw
or
away.
Or recycle, I guess, right? If it's a paper product.
Recycle.
Okay.
And also the third category, which is things to donate or sell. Now, the tricky thing about that is if you're going to sell it, you better sell it like write down in your book when you're actually having that garage sale or what, because you could actually be just setting yourself up for another little clutter pile. Mm. Those are the things I'm going to sell. So just see what's realistic and what is worth it. You know, what is worth having that sell pile. So with that little formula, what you're going to keep, what you're going to throw out, what you're going to donate or sell, you ask those questions of all the items as you go through your clutter list, your clutter pile. And it also helps to have someone with you, someone pretty neutral that can just kind of help you with this.
A real cheerleader, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta go into this, I think.
Positive. With,
yeah, all psyched up.
Not like, you know.
Yeah, you gotta charge in there. I think that really helps to have that momentum and just do it. That's what helped us anyways. Yeah. We're like, damn it. We're doing this, you know?
Yeah. So, and another thing too that helps get this, you know, process in motion is to not take, to use your first hit on an item, to not go, should I keep it? Should I? No, just when you look at it, keep, toss, donate, sell.
And having the sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Like giving yourself a deadline and making it a game, you know, having that sense of a fire under your butt that really helped us to get through a lot. And it really helped.
Right.
We would still be there and going, I don't know what to do. if we weren't in that energy, I think, when we went through this.
Right. And also just a note, for the things that you're planning on keeping, there is also sort of a subcategory, which is called like your sentimental items. Now, your sentimental items, we're in no way saying to throw it out. I mean, you know, if it's sentimental to you, keep it for sure. But what you might want to do is create a certain box or space for those sentimental items and put them out of view, like put them up in on the top shelf in your closet. You know, those are the kinds of things you don't need to leave out necessarily, you know, but like it's a scrapbook or it's something, you know, oh, that was the shirt that I wore at the blah, 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 blah. You know, fold it up and keep all your sentimental items together.
All in one place.
In one area. And then, you know, put it on a shelf, you know. That helps to keep things organized.
And it also helps, I think, to also have a place, decide where the place will be for things that might need fixing.
Yes.
Right?
And
or a list if it's a light bulb or, you know, something, a light switch that's not working, to have a list going with your planner, just one sheet of paper of things that need fixing so that you can see very clearly what needs to be done around the house.
And if it's an item, like say your paper shredder needs fixing, and it's just there, and you're like, oh yeah, I gotta go have that fixed. I mean, really, again, take a reality check of like, am I really going to have this fixed? Mm-hmm. Is it really worth fixing? Because a lot of times we have a pile of stuff that's like, okay, I need to get that fixed. And many times we don't really move on it. And it's just this pile. Same thing with clothing and things that need to be altered, you know, or a button sewn on. You know, really make that decision of, okay, am I going to do this? Or should I just donate it or throw it out? Mm. Because, you know, we may have good intentions, but the thing about it is...
Sometimes motorcycles go by.
But the thing about it is we don't really realize how much a pile of unattended items, how much that really zaps us and sucks our energy, even if we're not consciously looking and going, gosh, I still need to have that fixed. You know we need to have all those things fixed or altered. And so just make that decision. And if you're going to deal with it, deal with it.
Fire under your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just a couple of other notes. That the clutter clearing, you can also remember to do that for your car or your office space at your work or something too.
Yeah. So it's not just your house. It's like anywhere you spend time, because you want to try and be pretty congruent. Like you don't want to have a spotless house, but your desk at, you know, your office is like just Clutterville. You know, you want to pretty much be congruent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then... Now, since this is holistic spring cleaning, we're going to move on to another section that is relationships.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go because I'm scared.
Well, I know when you think of like, oh, clutter clearing and relationships, I mean, it really does have, relationships do have such a huge role in... either making us feel energized and feeling really good, or the opposite of that. And so it's also really good when you're thinking of holistic spring cleaning and space clearing to think of your relationships. And so one of the things is to think of any unresolved issues that you may have with certain people and to deal with them.
And that doesn't necessarily have to mean that you contact them and you have a discussion.
Not at all,
It's just having time for yourself to come to some sort of
resolve with something that may be lingering.
Or just, and even if it's not resolve or not complete resolution, at least to spend time and acknowledge it.
Take a look at it.
And honor it in the sense of that, you know, I feel this way. Mm-hmm. I think even that's helpful.
It's so
helpful. Not necessarily pressuring yourself to feel like you have to come to some kind of grand conclusion, but just acknowledge that, hey, yeah, that's a part of my life. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, even that's helpful, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another, something with unresolved issues is if you're like, well, I don't think I have any, you know, unresolved issues with anyone. Something you might want to ask yourself is if you were out in public, is there anyone that you wouldn't really want to run into?
Mm.
Because that's kind of a good, like filter of sorts to see, okay, well, there might be some issue, unresolved issue with that person. So that might be something you might want to, do. Another thing in the relationship category is to clear out the flaky friends. Sorry, flaky friends. Clear out the flaky friends. And what we mean here is not to like cut them off and like, you know, I'm never going to be their friend again. But just decide that, okay, my flaky friends are going to be on the side over here, you know, and decide ahead of time how much you're going to continue to invest in those relationships. Because say if you have a flaky friend and, you know, it's someone who is like, you know, you make plans with every weekend and they don't show up, or they're like, oh, no, I can't, or something like that. How much more do you want to keep doing that?
Or also friends that you feel
zapped by,
or you have this sneaking, uncomfortable feeling that you're being used.
True.
You know, whether consciously or unconsciously.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. So decide if you have any of those people in your life and make some conscious decisions about those relationships.
And it's okay. It's okay to decide that, you know, this certain relationship is hurting me more than helping me.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. And it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah. And of course, it doesn't mean that if a relationship is difficult, then that means it's bad for you. It doesn't mean that, I don't think. It means that if it's difficult, you have to decide consciously whether you're going to use this difficulty to whether you can, whether you're in a place where you know how and you see a way to use this relationship for your own personal growth.
Yes.
I think.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Okay. Okay, another thing with the relationships is to take care of all the correspondence that we all keep putting off. Yeah. We all have a little area where it's like, okay, I have to write a note to this person, or I have to, you know, there's just that little area that we have. Mm-hmm. And those are relationships. And so take care of all that stuff. If you have to write to your, you know, your auntie from Hawaii who wrote you that sweet note from way back, write her a note. Just write her a note. And don't even worry about the etiquette and how soon you should have. Just, it's never too late.
Yeah,
that's so true. Just do it.
And if you're too embarrassed because it's way too late, then send an email. Because it's less embarrassing to send a late email. If you owe them a note.
True. And
don't you think?
Yeah.
I've done that.
Another thing you can do is, thank God this is America, because we have so many darn holidays. Whatever the next holiday is, send them, buy a holiday card.
That's a
good
one.
Like, go, oh, Easter's coming up. Happy Easter. Or oh, St. Patrick's Day. Hey, hope you're having a great day.
Yeah,
just kind of slide it in there.
That's a good one.
Put glitter on the card. No one will know. Then another thing with relationships is, don't procrastinate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, the last tip was just about, like, well, if that's too late and you didn't procrastinate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what we're talking about here is, like, say if, you know, you're with your friend and you say, oh, I have the perfect pet sitter for you. You know what? I'll give you her number. If you're able to complete that task by just looking in your cell phone, looking up the pet sitter's number and giving it to her right then and there, do it, because it takes up more energy to give it to her later,
to remember it,
to decide, oh yeah, I have to email that person. So basically there's kind of a rule.
Oh yeah, this is a rule that is in that system that David Allen is a big evangelist for. He kind of made it up in a sense, but it's a whole system gleaned from all different systems about time management or, information flow and stuff, productivity. And the rule is
this the getting things done guy?
Yes, getting things done. Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. Getting Things Done. That's the name of his book, also known as GTD. But one of the rules or guidelines, and I think it's great, it really helps me out, is if something takes under 2 minutes, just do it right then and there and put it to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That.
And if there's something, if you have those tasks that they're bigger, they take longer than 2 minutes, but you're procrastinating about it and all that kind of stuff, you know, just make sure you schedule it. So for instance, if you don't like balancing your checkbook and you keep putting that off, but again, we know balancing your checkbook is going to take longer than 2 minutes, you know, just write it like, okay, I am going to commit to doing this at the end of every month on a Thursday at this particular time or whatever, you know.
And here's the good part about the snacks.
Yeah, because if it's something that you just really don't want to do, create an environment where it's just a little more pleasant. So if you're going to balance your checkbook, you can't stand doing that. Go out, buy yourself a luxurious latte. Say if you love, you know, I don't know, cinnamon lattes or something. Buy one. Buy a delicious maybe blueberry scone or apple muffin. And
with
come
butter.
Home with butter and come home and, you know, maybe put some relaxing music on and then start the balancing of your checkbook. And I promise you, it's not going to feel as painful. And so many things, it's just the getting to actually do it. That's the painful part.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
once you
head,
start,
yeah.
It's fine, really. You know, and just keep that your own little sacred ritual that helps you put a nice spin on something that you don't really enjoy doing. And that might not seem like a relationship, you know, with a person, but it's your relationship with yourself. So, that's in the relationship section.
And believe me, when we're telling you all this stuff, boy, we're talking to ourselves too. Oh boy.
I know.
Okay.
We are.
Okay.
This whole podcast is for ourselves.
That's true.
Jeez.
Okay. This last section would be for the physical body.
Yeah. So spring cleaning for the physical self.
And we're just wanting to, in this section, encourage you to eat reasonably well.
Yeah.
You know, you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. So eat well, maintain your body. You're going to enjoy your life so much more if you have a healthy body.
Also, you might want to consider doing some occasional detoxes. You know, whatever that, whatever level you're ready for, depending on the diet you've been carrying. Occasional detox is kind of like clutter clearing of your insides, like your colon.
Yeah.
All like, that stuff. Your cells,
like
your
blood. Diet Coke, yeah?
Yeah, no diet.
Like having no diet coke. That's a little detox.
If someone eats a lot of meat, then maybe your detox would look like not eating meat. You know, a lot of times when people hear detox, they get scared because they think, oh, you're just drinking water for 7 days, or oh, you're just drinking fruit drinks for 7 days. But it doesn't have to be to that degree, although it can be. You know, depends on where you're at. And so it might mean just eating, it might mean incorporating more vegetables. Or, that could be a detox.
Or even like a tub soak, because that's a detox too.
A tub soak with Epsom salts is a fabulous detox.
It draws out.
Yes, it does draw
out stuff from your body.
But you have to be really careful with that too, because if you're not used to it and the water is a little too hot, sometimes you can walk away with a headache and, you know, because it's releasing. It's releasing toxins. So just, you know, be nice and kind and gentle with yourself and go slowly.
And the last little thing we wanted to share about physical
this is a good
clearing
one.
For your body is something that we have benefited from
so much
just in the past couple of years.
So much.
And this is a pattern of food choices on a daily cycle. So, you know, that whole admonition to have a hearty breakfast and start your day off right with a great big breakfast.
They're wrong.
We have experienced the opposite, actually. We've experienced that when we start the day off instead with just fruit juice and then maybe some just fresh fruit, just really simple like that, not even toast. I used to always have toast and eggs in the morning, but for the past couple of years, I just had fruit juice and fruit, and I found that my energy levels are much higher. I need or require less sleep, you know, so start off like that. And then for lunch, you know, like a salad, get your greens in. And then the heaviest meal would be dinner.
Your last meal.
Yeah.
So now we've been, you know, we've so much been fed the idea of giant breakfast because your poor body is starving when it wakes up because it fasted. That's why you're breaking the fast, breakfast. And so, you know, you have like a great hearty giant breakfast, and then dinner should be your lightest meal because you're going to go to bed soon. And but we've really found the opposite to be true by living it, eating light to heavy from morning to night. So whatever that means for you, you know, just eating, just starting it off lighter, because the whole reasoning behind that is if you're starting your day and you know, you just wake up, you're starting your day and you have your whole list of things that you're gonna tackle that day, you need your energy. And when you eat a heavier meal, you don't, a lot of the energy is going to digesting that meal, whatever it is.
That's why you feel sleepy after you eat a huge meal, right? What, it's like, oh, I just need to
eat. Whatever you eat, you know, it's like, that's what it's doing. So it kind of makes a lot of sense to eat light so that you have enough energy reserves to start your day. And then as your day is unwinding and you can kind of relax and, you know, maybe have some family time or maybe watch one of your, you know, relaxing
American
TV
shows
or whatever. Yeah.
Or Lost.
That's when you might want to have your, you know, your more indulgent thing like rice and whatever. How many times I sing rice on this
podcast? Yeah, we like
podcast?
Rice lovers.
Because your body is not going to be fed anything else. Like, that'll be your last meal. And then while you're sleeping, since nothing else is going to get fed to it, it just has that time to digest it all. You know, you're resting. And
although as we're saying this, I do have to say, maybe it's a little different because we don't eat meat. So just so everybody knows that. I don't know if that makes a huge, huge difference. You know, well, to have meat and then go to sleep for 10 hours or 8 hours or whatever.
Well, I think... Actually, I've actually read something on that. And for people who are... who have decided to still eat meat, it is in one reference, I think it's Natalia Rose, who says that have your meat meal last.
Oh, okay.
And I guess maybe what's important to say is that we're not saying to eat before you go to sleep. Like not right before you go to bed. Okay. That's what we're not saying that. We're just saying basically light to heavy. So if you have dinner at 5, but you sleep at 10, you're having dinner at 5. We're not saying, oh, eat your dinner at 9:45 right before you go to bed.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So it is going to have time to, your body's going to have time to digest a little. And and then your body, while it's sleeping, can do the things it does ordinarily, which is like take care of its cells, renew, you know, all the things and heal itself.
Got it.
Something along those lines. Okay. And if you're going to eat more protein earlier, maybe it's just a lighter protein. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on where you're at, what you're doing.
Okay. So just to wrap it up, we wanted to give a book recommendation for those of you who might be more interested in this whole feng shui thing.
There is a fabulous book by Karen Kingston called Creating Sacred Space with Feng Shui. And don't be, you know, intimidated by the title, you know, having feng shui in there, because this author writes very practical, doable things to just kind of have the energy flow of your home just more fluid and a lot of receptive and open.
A lot of it is about just clearing and
clearing, clutter clearing, space clearing, and all of that good stuff.
Okay.
So happy space clearing to all of you. Just tackle one part of your house at the time, or, you know, one area of your life. Like, don't feel overwhelmed so much, because it's so easy to get overwhelmed. Just do little by little and you'll get through it all.
And spring is a whole season.
Yeah, you have 3 months.
And then just make it part of a habitual thing. You could even do it not just in spring, like at the turn of each season.
You know, that's a good idea. Yeah, tackle an area every season. That's a good idea.
Okay, so to wrap up this episode, we just wanted to, of course, follow up on the Herb Ota Jr. Tour of Southern California that's coming up later this March. Like we mentioned, including private lessons. So he has a bunch of workshops and individual private lessons that will be offered in the cities of Torrance, Carson, Gardena, Anaheim, Oceanside, that's it.
Wow.
And he's starting on March 19th, and the last date is on March 24th. And there's a bunch of dates in between. And I'll go ahead and put up the link for all of the information, all the details, in the episode, you know, notes at girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com for episode number 88. Another thing together with that.
This is exciting.
Yeah, another thing together with that we wanted to mention. You know, of course, if you're not in Southern California, then you can't take advantage of that. But anywhere in the United States, you can order these ukulele packages. And they consist of either a soprano, a concert, or a tenor ukulele. Those are all 3 different sizes of ukes. And together with the ukulele, you get a hard case, an instructional book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several different instructional books you can choose from. And they've all been written by Herb Ota Jr. and Daniel Ho.
Yeah.
And you get a tuner. And it's a cool tuner. It's the kind that you clip on to the instrument, you know.
So for anyone who's just kind of like thinking, I might want to start this up.
Yeah.
It's a great deal.
So these ukulele packages are being offered at 20% off at dhcdesigns.com. And again, the link will be at the show notes. But if you do happen to live in Southern California and you do register for one of Herb's workshops or classes, you won't get 20% off, you'll get 25% off. So kind of cool. Just wanted to pass on that.
That's fabulous. That's such a great deal.
That special deal for you. If you were thinking of it, this now might be the time. But again, sorry, all the ukulele packages can only be shipped within the United States.
Yeah.
So, okay. Ooh, what about this?
Yeah, you know, we had a listener that mentioned a wheat-free, gluten-free alternative to furikake popcorn. Now, we mentioned this before, popcorn eating with some kind of either regular butter or vegan butter and sprinkling some furikake, which is...
Furikake is a rice seasoning that's so made up mostly of dried and seasoned seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also include, you know, salt, sesame seeds, that type of thing.
I love it. Yeah, it is just so yummy. So anyways, this listener needs to have a wheat-free, gluten-free diet. And so his alternative to furikake popcorn is he puts a little sugar on the popcorn. And he adds a liquid amino acid called Bragg's. Now, some of you may have heard of Bragg's before. It's sort of like shoyu or soy sauce, sort of, but it has its own distinct spicy, herby flavor. It's actually pretty yummy. And the great thing about it is that it's wheat and gluten-free. And so that's why he can use it on the popcorn.
And I didn't even know furikake had wheat or gluten in it.
Yeah, I guess if there's soy sauce,
soy
in
products
it,
in there, yeah.
Soy sauce, yeah. So because soy sauce does have wheat in it. So just that. So we're gonna have a link if you want to check out this Bragg's amino acid. I know it sounds scary, like it doesn't
acid.
Sound very yummy, but it actually is quite yummy. And they not only sell the liquid that you know you can. Put in your shoyu bottle or just put some on rice or whatever, they sell a spray bottle of Bragg's, sounding better, right?
What?
That you can spray on your salad. You know how they have, so that you don't like go for it and pour, you know
oh,
how if you're pouring, you pour too
so
much
funny.
And it all pours
oh my God.
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a spray bottle. So you spray it on your rice or whatever, I guess.
Spritz your salad
yeah,
with a little Bragg's.
Oh, but, so we're going to have a link and we're also going to have a special code if you want to buy it online and have it shipped to you. For first-time customers, you can get $5 off, but you have to put the code in.
So just go to the show notes, yeah?
Go to the show notes,
okay.
Yeah. We'll have it all there.
I'll take care of you.
Oh, and the $5 off, say if you're like, I don't want to buy any Bragg's. Anything you buy on that website, if you're a first-time customer, you put in the code that we give you, you'll get $5 off.
Cool. Okay, and then just to close out this episode, since we are lesbians and the podcast is called
That's right,
Girl
we
to
are.
Girl, we just, you know, we have to put in some gay news.
Girl to girl.
Oh, did I say that?
You
oh,
did,
I did
say
yeah,
that!
I did! How come? What is that? Girl.
I think you're a Republican.
Girl. No, girl meets girl.
Are you Republican? You're suppressed, repressed.
I need
girl,
help.
It's called Girl
Meets
Girl. She's just meeting her, like for a cup of coffee. She's just meeting her.
Not girl to girl.
Not girl to girl, not girl on girl, not girl under girl, not girl does girl, no. Or yeah, I don't know.
All right. So I'm sure most, if not all of you, have heard all the hubbub that went along with the elections last fall involving Prop 8. Well, we just wanted to acknowledge and let you all know, if you didn't know already, that on March 5th, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, Lambda Legal, and the ACLU filed a writ petition with the California Supreme Court. And this, what they're trying to do is invalidate Prop 8. And let's see, the basic thing to know is that technically, the California Supreme Court has 90 days to issue an opinion on this, whether Prop 8 should be invalidated or not. And if it is invalidated, that would be a step towards equal rights for gay and lesbian people. They have 90 days to issue an opinion, but from what I can tell, people in the know, those in the legal profession and stuff, they don't think that it's going to take 90 days. So they are expecting a decision in April or May. So hopefully April, so we don't have to wait that long, but we'll see. So that's the state of affairs for the fight for equal rights for lesbians and gays. And we hope this episode was an encouragement to you.
So don't forget to vote. And don't forget to enter the contest.
And remember that you are a great person. And we are bolstered in our efforts to continue this podcast because we hope that this is some kind of source of encouragement and positive energy, source of renewal for you. Because, these are not the most breeziest, easiest times.
Right.
And we just want to put some good energy out there for you. Okay. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Bye.